Hello, I am Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson, and I just want to say welcome to our worship stream today. Here at Grace Communion Richardson, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through community or neighborhood engagements, all out of the compelling love of God that is given to us through Christ Jesus, our Lord, and also through the power of the Holy Spirit. Welcome to today's stream. If you have any prayer requests, please do not hesitate to share with us your prayer need, and we will pray with and for you. If you have any comments, don't hesitate to share those with us as well. We would love to read your comments. I hope that you had a meaningful and happy Thanksgiving Day with family and loved ones, even during these very difficult times. Our thanks and our gratitude goes to Father, Son, and Spirit for the gift of Jesus, the Son of God, for his love, for his grace, and salvation toward us, not because of anything that we have done, not because we've earned it or are worthy of it, but because of his great love, because of his great compassion and grace, his great goodness towards us. And we are thankful to him for the many blessings that he pours on us as families, as individuals, and on our nation. Again, even in the midst of the trials and difficulties of 2020. And also, we are thankful for the hope for a better tomorrow, a better future that we can hold on to in Jesus our Lord. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent simply means coming or arrival, and celebrates the coming of the Lord, the incarnation of the Lord, the incarnation of God in Christ through his first coming, his birth, and also through the second coming of Jesus, his return that we look forward to. And in between that, his coming through his Spirit, as his Spirit indwells us. So Advent is an important Christian celebration that reminds us that God is with us, that God has not abandoned us, and that God comes to us. And so we are in the Advent season, and begins this first Sunday of Advent with a special marking or celebration of that understanding. Now, I'm speaking specifically to Grace Communion Richardson members and supporters, and those of you out there who share our values. I want to say thank you for your generous financial support for our gospel work, as well as for your prayers. I am grateful on behalf of our congregation, our church, for your generosity. And if you are moved out there to join financially in our gospel effort, you can see on the screen the various ways that you can do so. Thank you for your tax-deductible donations, and thank you for participating with us in the life and in the mission of love of Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't mind joining our praise team for a praise song, and then after that, we will have the lighting of the hope candle for the first Sunday of Advent and prayer, and that is going to be done by the Santibanez family. And after that, I'll come back for the message for today, which is going to be about faith, as we look at the faith avenue in our vision and mission. Please stay with us. Thank you.
Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, and we will rise again, for I believe in the name. And our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus, and I believe in you.
Today, the first Sunday of Advent, or arrival, marks the beginning of the Advent season. Advent encompasses God's story from the Garden of Eden in Genesis to the establishment of the New Jerusalem in Revelation. Symbols of Advent include a wreath, God's eternal love for us, which encircles four candles on the outside and a white candle in the middle.
The first purple candle symbolizes royalty, fitting as we begin Advent, focusing on Jesus, returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This somber color, purple, represents our theme for this week. Jesus, our Lord, our King, our hope. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hope is not a feeling. Hope is not an object. Hope is not an idea nor a wish. Hope does not disappoint, and hope is here. A secure assurance from a trustworthy God. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us.
Our reading for today comes from Isaiah 2, verse 1 through 5, the mountain of the Lord. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up the sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob. Let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Let us pray. Our dear Father, Advent is a time for remembering and reflecting on the birth of Jesus, our Lord and our hope. I pray that you will turn our hearts to you as Christmas approaches. Let us not get caught up in the hassle and bustle of the season and miss the chance to celebrate the gifts of hope, peace, joy, and love that you have sent to us at the first Christmas. The story of the Old Testament is full of glimpses of your plan to redeem your people and restore them into relationship with you. And with the birth of Jesus, we truly see and understand just how great your love for us. Lord, may we feel the joy of your loving embrace always, whether in times of happiness or in times of need and sorrow. Thank you for coming to be with us. We hope in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now for the message for today. Before I get into it, why don't we have a word of prayer? Eternal God, Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you for the faith of Jesus that you pour in our hearts. That reminds us that we are not alone in this world, that this universe and the entire creation that we see around us did not just happen, that there is a God who is love and who is good and who has a tremendous, amazing plans for each and every one of us to share your life with us through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us to grow in that faith, increase the faith of Christ in us, and help us to live in light of that faith, that we may be reminded daily that we live not just by sight, not by the physical, but that there is also a spiritual reality, and that you are sovereign over both. Thank you for your word that reminds us of that, that points us to the living word, Jesus. In his name, I pray. Amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I discussed the incredible gift of hope that God gives us in Jesus. That this hope results in worship. It is because we have hope that we worship. Today, I will look at faith because to herald Jesus in worship is to do so in faith. In other words, hope flows out of the faith that we have in God. So we are going to be looking at the ministry avenue of faith today, and then we'll continue with it next time. So at Grace Communion Richardson, we live out our vision and mission to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, through community and neighborhood engagements, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do so through the ministry avenues of hope, faith, and love. And as I said earlier, I have looked at hope the past few Sundays ago, and today I'm going to be looking at the ministry avenue of faith. This ministry avenues of faith, of hope, of love, are our relational ways of living life together with God and with each other. But what is faith? What is faith? I'm sure you heard the word faith, belief. What is it? I want us to look at that today. In Hebrews chapter 11, that's one of the few places, and not that many places, that actually provides a description or a definition of the word the way that it is done in Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 1. In Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 1, the writer of Hebrews describes faith as this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for, the writer of Hebrews says. So the writer says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And then in verse 6, they make this very startling statement, a significant statement. Verse 6, the writer says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him, that is God, must believe that God exists and that he, God, rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, I like the way the King James Version puts it, the first part of this verse. The King James Version says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that God is, that he is. Of course, the NIV that I'm reading says that God exists. King James says God is. That is pregnant with meaning, to say God is. God is what? God is love. God is good. God is creator. For me, that translation leads me into what I call the three eternal truths about God. That God is almighty, sovereign, the great I am. God is the one who is the creator, one who is in charge. And then also, God is love. God is good. God is gracious, benevolent. God is compassionate. God cares. God provides. God is present. And then, of course, the third eternal truth is God is worthy. God is the source of value. God is worthy of our worship, of our time, of ourselves, of our sacrifices. So when we talk about faith, friends, We are talking about, as the writer of Hebrews describes it, a confidence in what we hope for, and an assurance about things that we do not yet see. The Christian faith is confidence in what we hope for, being assured of what we don't see. In other words, faith is what we have, what we hold on to as we await that which we hope for. And ultimately, friends, what we hold on to as we wait for our heart's desires, the things that we hope for, hopefully these are things that are the promises of God. What we hold on to while we wait for those promises, the fulfillment of those promises, ultimately, is Jesus. It is Jesus that we hold on to in hope. It is Jesus that we hold on to when we do not see what's going on. It is Jesus that we hold on to as we look forward to a better tomorrow. So faith is a confidence that we have because we are holding on to something even as we wait for what we hope for. There is a saying that if a blind person, tells you that they are going to throw a stone at you, then you must wonder that they are stepping on one. In other words, they are stepping on a stone. That proverb describes gives the idea of not just going by what you see. Oh, this person is blind, so how are they going to be able to get a stone or find a stone to throw at me? That's the implication of that proverb. You need to understand that threat from the blind person is being made because they have something that they are holding on to in order for them to be able to make that threat. And faith gives us what we hold on to when we do not have sight of what it is that we are looking forward to. And ultimately, friends, as I said, Jesus is that which we hold on to as we wait for the fulfillment or the materializing, the actualizing of that which we are hoping for. It is impossible to please God without this understanding, is what the writer of Hebrews says in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. If we do not have this understanding that we need to hold on to, a confident holding on to, an assurance born out of this confident holding on to Jesus, who God is in Him, His promises in Him, His goodness in Him, His love in Him. If we're not holding on to that in our relationship with God and with others, it's going to be impossible to please God. Because we won't have the wherewithal, we won't have the capacity, we won't have the ingredients, we won't have the raw materials, so to speak, that enable a pleasing, joyful relationship with God and with each other. And so the Apostle Paul describes this very important understanding of faith when he says that anything we do without faith, without this understanding, without this trust in the sovereignty, in the love, in the creative power and goodness of God embodied in Jesus, without this, he says, anything that we do without this faith, without this understanding, is sin. Leads to sin, will not be in conformity with the nature, character, and heart of God. It says that in Romans chapter 14, verse 23. I'm not going to turn there. I'm just using that as a further explanation of the significance and importance of the Christian faith that I'm talking about. Again, I'm not talking about the way that we colloquially use the word faith in our everyday language. You know, I have faith in so-and-so. It is approaching what we're talking about in Christian terms, but not quite. This faith that we are talking about, this faith that the writer of Hebrews is referring to in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and verse 6, this faith that he showcases a whole plethora of people in that chapter, so that the chapter is referred to as the chapter of faith, and the individuals referred to are called the heroes of faith. This faith is one that actually comes from God. It is given through his Spirit in relationship with us. And it is that which we hold on to, that we live by, as it shares with us as we understand who Jesus is, or better put, who God is in Jesus, who God is revealed in Jesus. If you remember, I said something quite similar about hope as well. You begin to see how and why faith, hope, and love live together. How the Apostle Paul describes them in 1 Corinthians 13 as being abiding virtues. They are interconnected. They abide together. And faith is what we have in our relationship with God as we live out a life of hope. Faith in and of Jesus is trust in who God is in Jesus and what he stands for and what he promises. Let me say that again. Faith in and of or from Jesus is trust in God, is trust in who that God is in Jesus and what he stands for and promises. And faith, friends, is relational. It's not just an individual private thing, as some people would like you to believe. Faith is not private. Faith is personal, but not private. Listen again to what the writer of Hebrews says in verse 11. Chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Again, talking about faith. He says, by this faith that he describes in verse 1. That is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This faith, verse 3. By this faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So it is by faith that we understand that God is the creator of all the things that we see, and that these things that we see came from the creative mind of God. They did not come from things that already were in existence visibly. They come from the creative mind of God. That is to say, faith helps us understand that God is creator. God is great. God is sovereign. God is the great I am. And we trust that. We trust this revelation of who God is that is made for us in Jesus Christ. And as I said, this trust is born out of relationship. It's not just an academic, abstract trust. It is a trust that is relational in nature. It is a trust that the Spirit engenders as we pursue a relationship with God. Or better put, it's a trust that is engendered as we receive a relationship with God through Jesus and by is spirit. And this relationship is not individual. It is individual in community. It is communal. So faith, though personal, is not private. It is shared. It is lived out with others. It is commended and grown with others. That's important, and we'll talk some more about that as we go on. Faith is shared and describes a community in trust and in relationship together in Christ through the Spirit. And that is why, friends, sometimes we use these words when we describe faith as a collective, as a body of belief, as well as a body of believers. So, for example, we would ask the question, what faith are you? When we ask that question, sometimes what we are asking is, what body of belief do you hold on to? And then the answer may be, oh, I am Christian, or I am Methodist, or Presbyterian. You are describing a body of belief, right? As well as a community of believers, a community of shared faith, a community of shared belief. So we see then that faith is not private, even though it is personal. Faith is communal. It's something that we share together. And sharing faith together is what we are identified by as well. A community of believers. So Jesus is our hope and the center of our worship because we share in his faith. We share in who God is revealed in him. We share in the truth that God exists. We share in the truth that God is sovereign and creator. We share in the truth that God is good, God is love, God is gracious. We share in the truth that God is worthy. We share in the truth that God is with us because of Jesus. Because all of this understanding is, all of them are revealed in Jesus. And we share in Christ the faith and the trust that we have in God. We trust in Jesus, and this trust, this faith, this belief in Jesus motivates our actions. And Paul and James both are very clear about that fact, that faith is not just head knowledge, that faith leads to action, that faith is recognized by how we think, what we say, and what we do. Faith leads to action. And so, like hope and love, faith is lived out in relationship with God and with others in a community. And I want to share with you a story in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 tells a story of a group of people who exemplified what faith looks like, what faith does, what faith leads to. Faith is this confidence, this assurance of who God is revealed in his Son, his promises, his nature, his greatness, his creativity, his power, his love, his care for us. This assurance, this confidence, this trust in God then leads us to act and react in certain ways. And hopefully these ways that we are led to act and react reflect who God is revealed in Jesus, because then It showcases our being image bearers of Jesus. You see a group of people here who were motivated by their faith to act in a certain way. That is truly remarkable. In Mark chapter 2. So read the story here in Mark chapter 2, verse 1. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So Jesus is back home where he kind of grew up. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them, the gospel to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, let's pause for a little bit and consider this amazing story. So here's a group of probably family and friends of a man that is paralyzed, cannot walk. He didn't have a wheelchair in those days. So he just sat on a mat. And these friends heard that Jesus was back home in Capernaum. And they decided that they were going to take their paralyzed brother and friend to Jesus for healing. Now, why would they do that? Well, they did that because they believed that Jesus is able to heal. Right? They believed that Jesus was able to heal. They believed in the greatness of God revealed in Jesus. They believed in the creative power of God revealed in Jesus. They believed in the love, the goodness, the care, the concern of God revealed in Jesus. If they didn't believe any of that, if they didn't believe that Jesus cared, if they didn't believe that Jesus was great, if they didn't believe that Jesus was able to heal, then they would not bother making the journey, carrying their friend on a mat to him. And it isn't just that. They got there and they couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd. Now, if they didn't believe that Jesus is able to do the things that they are hoping for, remember the definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The confidence, the assurance of what we are hoping for. These guys believed. And so they would not let the crowd stop them. They found a way to get through to Jesus, through the roof, to the room that he was, and lowered the paralyzed man to Jesus. Amazing. You can imagine what was going on while Jesus was preaching. And these guys were tinkering with the roof up on top of him. Probably some dirt fell down in the room. And everybody was wondering what was going on. People were being distracted from the preaching, as it were. And then they lowered the man into the room in the mat. And Jesus' response, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith. So faith is something that can be seen sometimes, brothers and sisters, because of how we act. We can demonstrate our faith by our actions and can be seen. It's like what Jesus describes in John 3 when he says the wind, you cannot see the wind itself, but you see the effects of it as it blows through the leaves and as it carries paper and debris around. You see that the wind is there. So Jesus saw their faith, verse 5. He said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now that's an interesting response. Why did Jesus say your sins are forgiven to the paralyzed man? that. We find the answer as we read on why Jesus said that. But Jesus' comment again points to the greatness of God that faith reminds us of. Faith reminds us that God is the creative great. God is the sovereign one. God is the one who created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. As Hebrews chapter 11 tells us. And so Jesus is your sins are forgiven. Again, pointing out that God is good. God is gracious. God is love. What was the reaction of all the people, especially the leaders who were with Jesus when this transpired? Verse 6. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Verse 8. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Verse 12, the man, the paralyzed man, got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. We have never seen anything like this. So, again, if you look at what's happening here, this is a group of people who believed in God, believed in Jesus, had faith, and were motivated by that trust in Jesus to bring their paralyzed, paraplegic probably, friend and brother to Jesus for healing. They couldn't get to Jesus because of a crowd, and they make a way because they believed. And Jesus says to the man as the man was lowered at his feet, son, your sins are forgiven. And the teachers of the law there were aghast. How dare this man say such a thing? Only God can forgive sins. You know, Jesus was demonstrating that, yes, he is God. That, yes, indeed, God forgives sins. That's who he is. He is the forgiving God revealed in Jesus. And he says to the teachers of the law and the crowd gathered around, which is easier, to just mouth off something like, son, your sins are forgiven, or to say, son, get up, take up your mat, and walk? Which is easier of the two statements to make? Of course, on the face of it, it is so much easier to say your sins are forgiven, because there's no need to for anything to be seen to back up that forgiveness. There's nothing visible that will show that, yes, this person's sins indeed has been forgiven. But if you say to the person, get up, not just any person, a paraplegic, a person who is paralyzed, who cannot walk, if you tell that person to get up, pick up your mat and walk, then it has to happen or you will be proven what? A liar. You'll be proven a person of no consequence. You'll be proven a person who is just boasting, who cannot back up what he says. So Jesus is saying, if I say your sins are forgiven, I have the right and authority to do so, because I can also say, get up, pick up your mat and walk, and it shall be accomplished. My saying, your sins are forgiven, is true. They are forgiven. because you can see that I can also say, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Amazing, isn't it? So faith helps us to understand that what Jesus says, he means. He means what he says. That God is not a liar. When God says that in his Son we are forgiven, we can trust that in faith that we are forgiven. When God tells us he loves us, we can trust that in faith that he indeed loves us. Why? Because he backs up what he says. His word does not return back to him empty, unfulfilled. God is faithful. And so we can have faith in him through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see here in this story in Mark chapter 2, a shared journey of faith. These men had faith in Jesus and they lived it out together as a group. They brought their friend to Jesus as a group. They commended their friend to Jesus in faith as a group. And I am sure by that action, they actually even grew not only their faith, but the faith of their paralyzed man as well. And the faith of others who witnessed it, as we saw the last bit of how the people reacted to it. So, friends, we are gifted with faith by God in relationship through his Spirit as God reveals himself to us in Jesus, that in Jesus, the sovereignty and greatness and creative power of God is revealed, that the love, the goodness, and graciousness of God, the forgiving God, is revealed, that the value and worthiness of God is revealed in Jesus. And we trust in that. And we accept what he says. And we live out our lives in light of that, being reflectors of his goodness and of his love, and image bearers of his nature. And we do so in community. We have faith as individuals, but we live it out in community, in shared relationship that affirm each other, that points to Jesus as the one from whom, with whom, and through whom we are able to express that life of faith together. And so, like John the Baptist, we are a voice in the wilderness proclaiming this Jesus that we believe in. We share it in community. We share it with others around us in our sphere of influence. We do so in word and we do so in deed. We do so by faith. We do so in love. His love compels us to live out our identity in him, that identity of love. And that takes faith, that takes trust and dependence on him. That takes belief in who God is and how faithful he is towards us. So to grow in faith, friends, is to grow in discipleship. To be a disciple is to be growing in that trust, in that belief, in that understanding of who Jesus is. And be followers of his identity, reflectors of his identity, being image bearers of him. That is what being a disciple is about. It is growing in that grace and in that knowledge of Jesus. Growing in knowing him in order to make him known. Again, it is not private. It is shared. It is communal. It is relational. We are called to a life-on-life relationship with Jesus, to grow in his grace and in his knowledge, and to do so with others. Not alone, not on an island by ourselves somewhere, but with others. That is the life of faith, of trust, and of belief that we are called To be a faithful person, to be a person of faith, is to be involved in this. It is not just to, you know, be having a private academic understanding of who God is. It is to be involved in sharing that story of who God is, growing in that story of who God is with others. A life of total dependence on Jesus as the center of our lives. We do this life together with each other and with others that we welcome in hope. So we grow in faith through feeding on the Word. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17 reminds us of that. This faith that the writer of Hebrews is talking about, how does it come? How does God share that faith with us? Well, in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul describes it this way in verse 17. I'm breaking into the thought here. And the whole of Romans 10 is really talking about this incredible strategy, so to speak, if I may use that term, that God has in revealing himself, in sharing the good news, the gospel of his love, of his greatness, of his creativity, of his care, his concern, of his inclusion of us in his Son. And then in verse 17, the 10th chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul says this. Consequently, breaking into the thought, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So let me read that again. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. What is this message? Well, the message of the love of God, the goodness of God, the salvation that God gives to us, the forgiveness that God gives us. This message is heard through the word about Christ. In other words, this message about who God is heard, revealed in Christ Jesus. So that's how faith comes about. It comes about a relational knowing of the story of God revealed in Jesus Christ. The gospel of God revealed in Jesus Christ. That means spending time in it, getting to know who God is, getting to know the greatness of God, the Creator, getting to know the love of God, getting to know the worthiness of God, getting to know the forgiveness and the reconciling power of God through His Spirit. That is how we grow in faith. Romans 10 verse 17 is telling us. You can read this in various translations, and they're about expanding on this kernel of truth. That it is through our knowing Christ, our relationship with Jesus, that we grow in faith. That's how faith comes about. And then we share it. We share it in a life-on-life relationship with others in groups, in twos, in threes, in church. Then we are energized to proclaim Jesus in this world's wilderness of pain. That there is a good God who cares. That there is a good God who has done something about the problem of pain and is doing something about the problem of pain. That there is a good God who has a solution that enables us to rise from the ashes of this world's grinding and burning. And that faith is shared. That understanding is shared. Because this is where hope springs from. Gives us hope. So do you have faith, friend? Are you a person of faith? How are you growing in that faith? Who are you doing life with in faith? Are you a part of a small group? Are you a part of living together with others in a regular manner that encourages and supports you and you others in this faith, in this understanding? Are you a voice in the wilderness of our world, in the wilderness of doubt, in the wilderness of fear, in the wilderness of pain, sharing the good news of God's love, God's greatness, God's care, God's concern, God's forgiveness and reconciliation in Jesus to others. Sharing that story of God's hand in your life, God's goodness in your life, God's love in your life with others, and granting them hope. I hope you are doing that. I hope you desire to do that, friend. Because there are others like you. Reach out for help if you do need. And we all do need that help because we are in this together. We are better together. We are not meant to live this life alone. We are meant to live a life of faith in community, helping and supporting and growing each other's faith, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus together. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday as we talk some more about the practical implications of what faith is in our ministry avenue towards fulfilling the vision and mission that we hold as a church to know Jesus and to make him known. And I hope that you will, in the coming days, reach out to others in the faith of Jesus, supporting and helping and caring and sharing the love and goodness of God with them, making Jesus known, as it were, and sharing hope to others who desperately need it. Right now, join our praise team for a closing song, and by God's grace, I hope to see you next time. God bless.
Water you turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness we shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you. None like you. And our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power of God. Our God. Darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you, none like you. For our God is greater, our God is stronger, God you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Then what? God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand again? Then what could stand again?
I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.